Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Wisdom Under Fire, a series on Daniel going through his life and how what Daniel went through can be paralleled a little bit with kind of what we've been going through. And so if you haven't been following along, go back and watch those on YouTube. We've talked about things like being determined not to let the world corrupt us. We've talked about perseverance. And I both like that word and don't like that word, because you grow in perseverance through going through trials, right? That's how you grow in perseverance. And so sometimes that's not fun. We talked about that, praising God in the highs and in the lows. We talked about the clash of kingdoms and all of those different things. And today I have the joy of speaking on humility. Woohoo! Yes. The last three times we've hit humility, guess who's had to preach on it? Woo, me. So there's one or two options there. Either one, I am the most qualified person at Real Life to talk about humility because I'm the most humble guy ever. Psh, probably not. Or God's trying to tell me something. So we'll figure that out together. Every time I preach on this, the Lord, it's really good, but the Lord's got work to do in me. And so I'm hoping he does the same. So as we get into this, I wanted to read the definition. Humility is a modest or low view of one's own importance, humbleness. The other side of this that we talked about in sermon team is we put not thinking of yourself as less or worthless, but thinking of yourself less. Humility doesn't mean, oh, woe is me, I'm garbage, right? But as you come to know Jesus, and as you see what he did and who you are in comparison to him and his perfection, it brings us to humility. Pride and believer shouldn't mix very well. And we're gonna talk about that. None of us do that perfectly, but humility is thinking of yourself a little less as you go on. Before it was all about me, all about what's good for me, all about I'm better than you, all those different things. But then as you come to know Jesus, your heart starts to change. Your heart starts to become like his heart. You start to care about others. You start going about me first and going, man, I really wanna care for them because of what God's done for me. And so humility, fighting the right fight the right way is what we're calling this one. Fighting the right fight the right way. So with that, let's talk about Daniel, the book of Daniel, and how we saw humility throughout the entire thing. Hopefully you've been following along, reading with us, as well as the sermons. Daniel has been an amazing person for me to look at. I both go, man, I really like you, but man, I want to be more like you, and so it's not fair. How does this guy who's in his youth respond this way? And hopefully we're learning to go, all right, God, teach me how to be like this. Because we saw him, right? He got taken captive. He had things happen to him, like being castrated, forced to be indoctrinated in all these kinds of crazy things, just chaos. And yet when he was forced then after those things to try and eat the food, like we talked about, he didn't go, man, I'm so tired of this wickedness. I'm so tired of you. The whole attitude, like, I am holier than you. I don't know if you've ever been in those conversations with someone who's coming across like they're way better than you, holier than you. Maybe you've even been that person at times. We can all do it. But he doesn't do that. He asks kindly to go, can we please do it this way? He has this humility and respect for others. In the dream, when Nebuchadnezzar had this dream that he wanted interpreted and the wise man couldn't, and he said, I'm gonna go kill all these people. And Daniel, again, in humility, goes, hey, I don't know why this is so harsh, but can we do this? He shows humility. He shows humility when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are getting ready to be thrown into the furnace because they wouldn't bow down to the idol, right? And again, they're talking to him with a heart of humility. So those are the things that we've talked about already, but now I wanna go to Daniel 9. So if you have your Bibles, go to Daniel 9. If you don't, it'll be on the screen. We have not gone to this passage yet, and this is taking place after a lot of these stories that we've talked about. And I want you to really pick apart his humility in here. This is an amazing passage, convicting passage. Daniel 9, verses 4 through 10, it says this. And what's going on here is that he's looking into Jeremiah, and it was a prophecy about Israel, and he's looking into the scriptures, realizing that this prophecy in Jeremiah, which was written before, was about his time that he is in now. And he goes to the Lord in prayer. So it says, I prayed to the Lord, my God, and confessed, O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets, who spoke on your authority to our kings and princes and ancestors and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are right, but as you see, our faces are covered with shame. This is true of all of us, including the people of Judah and Jerusalem and all of Israel, scattered near and far, wherever you have driven us because of our disloyalty to you. O Lord, we and our kings and princes and ancestors are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. But the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God, for we have not followed the instructions he gave us through his servants, the prophets. I want you to notice some crazy stuff in here, you guys. First of all, you have to reflect on what's already taken place to see the magnitude and depth of this verse and the spiritual maturity of this young man. This guy, from what I can see, with how he's responding so godly throughout all this craziness, wouldn't have been one of the ones partaking with the other Israelites, because remember, God handed the Israelites over to the Babylonians because they were doing things like sacrificing their children in the fire to praise these fake gods. They were doing these wicked, wicked things, and God warned them, but they wouldn't listen. And so he handed them over. And here Daniel goes, Lord, we have sinned. He doesn't just pray for his countrymen. He says, we have sinned. He might not have gone to that extent, but he looked to the Lord and in his word and said, I'm broken. We're broken. We have sinned against you. What humility that would be. As you look around, and it made me even think of right now, where I'm like, man, our country and where it's at, I can't believe them, or I can't believe those guys on TV, the wickedness around us. And I'm like, got convicted by this. You know, me being an ex-addict who came to know Jesus, who God redeemed and worked, how often can I let pride seep in and go, look at them instead of Daniel, like Daniel. He goes, man, we have sinned against you. We have sinned. And he prays for his people, loves his people, has a humility of where he stands, because he knows, even as a follower, that he's broken too. He's very clear here and understands, obviously, what it takes for him to be redeemed as well as everyone else. I also see the humility with him with others, but also with him in the Lord. I look at his circumstances, and I could have prayed a prayer like, Lord, why would you let this happen? Lord, I've responded well, and you keep letting these things take place. He doesn't show anger or frustration or any of that towards the Lord. He goes, God, you are so good. He has a humility towards the Lord in this, in the good and in the bad. Like we talked about last week. What would it look like? Where are we at this morning with humility? This was so convicting to me, because this Daniel guy looked up and went, man, God is so good. He's done so much for me. I'm broken. God, forgive us. Wow. Blows my mind, and it makes me a little jealous of him. I can't wait to get to heaven and go, dude, you rock, to Daniel, right? You rock. But for us, where does that leave us this morning in our lives? Have we seen the hardships in our lives and let bitterness come in? Have we forgotten what God has done? Have we forgotten that he's in control, even in the bad as well as in the good? That they tried to kill Jesus, they couldn't, he was risen. I mean, all these things, God's plan has always come to pass and always seemingly has chaos surrounded, but victory always comes out of it because he works good even out of the bad. Where is our heart with humility? Which leads me to the next kind of question that comes up in my mind if I was you. What's the secret? How did he do this? How does this young guy who goes through all of this stuff and still has a determined heart not to be corrupted, has a perseverant heart, a humble heart, a heart for the Lord? You know, it makes me think, you know, my wife's been watching tons of cooking shows, which I do not understand, all the cooking shows that she watches. On one end, I'm like, sweet, you're learning to like, that's really good food. I'm up for that. But they always go like, the secret ingredient. What was your secret ingredient, right? And I asked that question, what was his secret? And it shouldn't be new to us. He had an understanding of this, and it was the people of God, the word of God, and the presence of God. And if you're following in the notes, that's the next section we're talking about. It's what's the secret? We see Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego completely rally, go, what do we do? How do we do this? This is crazy. I'm not doing well. I mean, all the things, you get snippets of it, but you see that that is implied all throughout the story. And it made me think in this season how much the enemy has tried to isolate believers more than I've seen since I've been alive and, you know, my whole 29 years. He's trying to isolate us. And it made me think of, you know, at church, we don't just be around people. That's not a part of that. That's not what I'm talking about. You can come in here, take a seat, leave. You can even go to life group, take a seat, share some things and leave. But in the church, we can be really good at putting fake faces on where no one knows we're doing very well. We're really good at that. At least I know I can be. And I'm not talking about being with the people of God as if you're just coming and going, but knowing each other on such a level that you can look at me and I can look at you and go, there's something off. No, I'm fine, man. You are a liar and I will track you down until you tell me the truth, right? Are we being vulnerable in our relationships? Are we seeking that out? Because here's the deal. We're always gonna get hurt within that process because people are people and Jesus had to die for us because we're people, right? We make our mistakes. But one is way deadlier than the other, even though it doesn't seem like it. When we've been hurt, we want to protect ourselves from the church or from people. I get that. I get it. I've been hurt. You've probably been hurt by people in the church even. But the enemy loves to get you there. We have to spur each other on. We have to bear each other's burdens. We have to in this season. And we see that wisdom in the story of Daniel and the life of Daniel, the people of God. He also was very for the word of God. In fact, Daniel 9, which we just read, only happened because he knew the scriptures enough to look into Jeremiah and realize that it was the time he was in. And then he went to the Lord to go, Lord, please help us and forgive us. He knew the word so well that he could do that. It is, you know, me growing up, I used to dislike reading on all levels, right? I did not like it, didn't do well in school. And when I came to know Jesus, like my heart was like, man, I really wanna know what God has for me, right? I really wanna know. But then in this last year and a half, it has been hard for me again to get into books or reading or whatever it is. And I don't know if it's just the enemy working double time because he does not want us to know who we are, whose we are, and the promises of God. And if you don't like reading, I don't care if you read it. I don't care if you watch it, listen to it. I don't care if you like hire someone to come and read it to you. But we have to know the word of God. It's not just a thing that we do as Christians. It is a reality of truths of reality in who we are and whose we are. In this season, as the world, if we're gonna walk with wisdom under fire, we We have to. The other one that is obvious here that I want to spend some time on too is that he was in the presence of God. All the time in this story, guys, he's running before the Lord. Please help us, forgive us. God, I'm hurting. God, answer me. It's called lamenting. Lamenting means pouring out your whole heart to God, the good and the bad. Because here's the deal. He knows when you're mad at him, even if you want to pretend to yourself that you're not, he knows. Because we can feel like, man, I can't be mad at God. I can't be mad. He's God. He's never wrong. And so we can even deceive ourselves into going, I'm actually frustrated. But he knows that. Lamenting means going into his presence, bringing all of your frustration, all of your brokenness, and laying it as at his feet, because he cares about those things and he cares about you and he knows it anyways. And you see it in the life of Daniel. I have one fill in the blank. A lot of people are like, man, you never do fill in the blanks anymore. So guess what, guys? For all you people, I got one for you this morning. That's the fill in the blank. Humility comes from an abiding relationship with God. Humility comes from an abiding relationship with God. Daniel must have realized this before Jesus's famous verse in John 15, right? You are the vine, I am the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Daniel figured that out without that statement. And then it goes on in that verse, remain in my love, remain in who I am, right? If you wanna grow in love, you gotta experience his love. If you wanna grow in peace, you gotta experience his peace. That comes from being with the people of God, the word of God, and the presence of God. And Daniel realized this, and it grows humility within us. I mean, how can it not, when you spend time with the creator of the universe, who spoke galaxies into existence, who knows the very hairs on your head, who actually has names for them. I mean, he is powerful, powerful. How can you not be humbled by that? But it's a good thing, because power without love is actually scary. But his love is revealed in his son. When you stand in the presence and abide in what Jesus has done for you, when you realize the reality of him and the depths of your sin that he has forgiven, this should humble you. When you see how broken you were and what he did to do, or did to do, when he, what he did for you, it should humble you. I was thinking of all this, you know, like I said, the Lord always guts me with humility. But I wrote some things down, and I think it's in your notes. If not, you can just listen. I just had thoughts as I was praying about this, as I was thinking about this. I put, when you seek and abide in God, you see his wonder, his majesty, his power, love, forgiveness, grace, mercy, wisdom, and justice. This naturally leads us to our knees and brings us to humility and awe. This is all revealed at the foot of the cross, where God revealed his plan for the redemption of the world and showed us all that he is in control, even when things seem out of control. This should lead us to humility, gratefulness, awe, thanksgiving, and praise because of his amazing goodness and his power. I don't know where you are at. I don't know where your humility has been or where your abiding relationship with Jesus has been. Your relationship with him is always tested under fire. And as we're talking about wisdom under fire, we have to stand on the rock, not on the sand. The rock is God and his word and who he is. It's his teachings. And that's not always gonna be perfect. There's gonna be storms. There's gonna be hurts and hangups and frustrations and circumstances and all of those things. But we have to bring those things to him. We have to lean on each other. We have to. You know, as I look into my life, it's been quite the journey of God with me. You know, I'm sure you could say that about you as well. You know, I was really insecure growing up. And had a lot of stuff happen in my life and led me into making really poor decisions with drugs and things, and once middle school came around. And I went from being really insecure to chasing things like, if I could just be the most athletic, like life or death to me, so I could be accepted. If I could just be the smartest or funniest or whatever, all those things you chase. So I poured everything into that, and you know, you go looking for that, you'll find it. You'll find the drugs, you'll find the parties, you'll find the things. And then it was like I got really prideful. I went from insecure and filled myself with pride so that I could have something to cling to, right? And it happened without me really even knowing it. And then God humbled me for quite some time. And I came to know Jesus and I accepted him and all those things. It was amazing. And I thought, you know, once drugs were over, I'd be like, man, I'm gonna be like perfect after that. Like that's all my problems is just that. That's not correct. It was the beginning of the process, right? And this leads me into my next topic. If you're following on the notes, pride kills. Little did I know that there was still so much pride in me from my old past and choices, because I went down that route and I tried to fill my life with those things. I had so much pride that I was unaware of. And sometimes, because God is good, even though it pains him to discipline us, the same way it pains us parents to discipline your kids, to hear things like, you hate me and all those things. I mean, all of us parents have heard that when you're just trying to love them. And it's hard, is the same way God allows us to go through things at times because of the pride, because pride is at the center of a lot in most sins. It was at the center of our first fall when the enemy tricked us into taking that apple and taking matters in our own hands and our plans are better. It was at the fall of even Satan, when Satan was at the right hand of God and he looked out and go, man, I'm like God, I could be God, and he fell. Pride seeps in so silently and then it does so much damage. Pride kills. Pride in our lives are fueled by everything that's around us. Pride in our lives fueled by what we listen to, what we watch at times, who we surround ourselves with. You can even see it in the story of Daniel. When King Darius is tricked by the wise men who hate Daniel, they were trying to get him in the lion's den. And so they went to Darius and said, you're so good, man. You are so powerful. You know what? Because of how good you are, we should just have everyone pray to you. You see, they were puffing him up for their own purpose. What we surround ourselves with, what we listen to, what we cling to, they have agendas. There's agendas at play at times, but you have to guard your heart above all else, it says in scripture. At the center of pride is entitlement. I deserve this. This is mine. At the center of pride is I don't deserve that, which implies you do deserve that, which we don't deserve anything. It's by God's grace and what he's done on the cross that he has given it to us. And at the center of pride, that builds and builds and we don't even know it happens. It creates bitterness. It pushes us away from relationships. It gets us to go look at them and how bad they are. It gets us to think we're all that. We don't need help. There's so many forms of pride. And here's another one that I think a lot of believers deal with that gets me all the time that I don't see. It's like a stealth pride. Undercover pride. When you go in your heart, God, you've done so much for me and I keep jacking it up. There's nothing, you can't keep forgiving me anymore. Pride. Who are you to say that God and what he gave through his son is not enough to cover every past, current, and future sin for all those who walk with him in repentance? That is pride. To go, God, you've done so much and now I can't be forgiven anymore. Pride. You don't think God knew that was a thing that was gonna happen? When he gave his son, that's like saying, God, your son wasn't enough. And I can do that all of the time. Do you know, humility isn't going, I'm so bad, I'm scum. Because when you're thinking about how bad you are, you're still thinking of yourself when you're beating yourself up. Humility or pride doesn't just look like looking at others, it's looking within, even when you're beating yourself up. It's not going, I'm worthless, I'm nothing, but it's going, God, you gave me so much. You see value in me, and I'm going to boast only in the Lord, as it says all over Scripture. Pride kills. Proverbs 16:18 says this, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. Better to live humbly with the poor than to share plunder with the proud. Pride goes before the fall. You know, I was looking up haughtiness and I was like, well, I don't know what that means. Like my wife's pretty, she's a hottie, but I don't really know what haughtiness means, right? It means arrogantly superior. Pride, arrogantly superior. They're wicked, I'm not. Where has our humbleness been? Have we forgotten the depths of sin and what it took to fill it? Which should create a heart of compassion for others. And here's the deal. We will for our whole life struggle in this process. And then we don't go, God, I've tried, but I'm so bad. You can't keep forgiving me. It's the same thing. Pride, it tries to hit you on both angles. It tries to get you to go, look at them, and then look how bad I am. He tries to pin you back and forth. The enemy does that with pride. Pride kills. Listen to this other one in 1 Peter. It says, in the same way you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. Get this, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. In a minute, we're gonna transition to communion and they're gonna start getting ready to pass that out. But as they do, I wanna talk about this verse for a minute. It says, God opposes the proud. I don't know about you, but I don't want God to oppose me. I used to do that. It didn't turn out so great. And then God had mercy, luckily, in my life. God wants us and desires for us to be humble. But here's the cool thing. Even when he's opposing you, he's working good from your stubbornness. And sometimes the good that is good, we don't think's good, is when he allows things in our life so that we realize what's going on. Because God cares mostly about your heart for him. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That means trusting him in the good and the bad, as we see Daniel in Daniel 9 doing. He goes, God, you're still good in the middle of this. Humbling yourself means I'm gonna choose to trust him in all of this garbage going on in my life. I'm gonna choose to believe that you are in control over all of this garbage, and I'm gonna follow you because you've proven yourself to be trustworthy. Heavy stuff. The ushers are gonna come forward and pass this out. They're gonna start playing behind me. And I wanna ask you a couple of questions as they do that, as we get ready to think of communion. What are you hearing me say today? I know how it is, I do it all the time. I'm like, man, that was so good. And then I leave and I'm like, what was that? Maybe you need to write it on your forehead, put it in your phone, I don't know. But what's the one thing that the Lord, not me, I'm just a person, I'm just delivering God's word. What is God trying to say to you this morning? Two, what does it look like to walk in humility in your life, to take one step in that direction? Fighting the right fight the right way, not just fighting, but the right way. Three, what does it look like for you to go, where am I at in abiding in my relationship with the Lord? Where am I at in this process? Do you need to entrench yourself more with the people of God? Do you need to be more in the word of God or the presence of God? Have you been frustrated and maybe your first step is just finally being honest with God, which he's known where you're at all along? Sometimes we're really good at deceiving even ourselves, and you just need to bring that before him and put it at his feet this morning. need to stop living in your pride. It's not fun. Do you need to stop looking at everyone else and all the stuff out there? Or do you need to confess, Lord, I've been at this place where I'm in this spot where I'm going, I'm too broken for you to forgive. Maybe you need to give him that pride today. Because guess what? God's power is greater than your ability to sin. And he made that known on the cross. Give it to him. It's what he died for. So we're going to spend some time in communion. I have one last verse that I want us to read. And this is the ultimate expression verse of humility in my mind, a couple verses down, but you'll get there. It's in Philippians 2. It says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Get this. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the highest place of honor. He had equality with God the Father. He himself, the Creator, says he gave up all of his privileges because to him it meant more to humble himself if it would mean gaining you, even in the midst of your sin. That he humbled himself and was a slave, treated as a slave, and then even died a criminal's death on a cross. The God of the universe, sinless in every way, a criminal's death. He did that. He humbled himself for us. So right now, in the quietness of your heart, we're going to spend some time, just you and the Lord, with whatever you need to do, whatever you need to pray, as we get ready to partake communion together. Let's do that now.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.